Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, December 6th of 2021. And I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you from here in Midland, Michigan, where I live. And I am grateful to be here with you tonight. And I want to thank you for tuning in, wherever you're tuning in from, however you found out about this program. I'm just super glad that you've made that determination to be a part of the broadcast tonight. And I pray that the show tonight will be a blessing to you. I want it to be a blessing to you. And therefore, I always pray that it is a blessing for you. For all of you who tune into the broadcast, wherever you tune in from, however you find out about it. And it's a blessing that you tune in. And it's good to be back with you. I know we were not on Wednesday night as we had the conference, leadership conference going on. And it was a good conference, as it always is. The leadership conference where leadership is the big thing that's discussed as very important. And obviously, churches need good leadership, but also even at home, you know, you need good leadership and what have you. And my hope is that that you got a chance to, if you weren't there, my prayer is that you at least tuned in and watched it, streamed it, and as I said, it was a good conference, nice way to end the year. And so it was truly an excellent conference. And so let me think here. What was I going to say? So this means that for now, until further notice, we should be on at normal dates and times, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, between 6:30 and 8 o'clock. There might be a couple different days as we go here through December that it might be different. So stay tuned for details and tell you about them as those become available, if in fact they are different. We just have to wait and see. If you can keep my parents in your prayers, that would be very helpful right now. Just going to ask you to pray for them. And I don't want to get into all the details. So I will not. But just please keep them in your prayers. It will help them both. So my hope is honestly that you're enjoying the Christmas season. Yes. And if you haven't put up your Christmas stuff yet, then my question to you would be, why isn't it up? I need to be honest with you listeners about something. I do not know what is up with our three local malls this year when it comes to decorating. Saginaw did not put all their trees up like they normally do in the center court. Cassandra, I had looked a couple days ago. They don't even have the snow in Santa's spot where they usually put Santa. Have you noticed that, Cassandra? They didn't even put the snow, the fake snow there. And Midland at least has that stuff up. But they usually put lights up on trees throughout most of the building, and they didn't do it. And the guy said that he was lazy and didn't do it. Yes. And I meant to call the manager this morning, to call their office this morning to see if she could get him to do it anyway. But I forgot. I still hope he does it because I think he needs to. And then Bay City Mall, oh, they didn't put much stuff up either. Whereas the malls I've been to in Detroit, the three I've been to in the Detroit area, they put their stuff up just like they're supposed to. And of course, it's awesome stuff when they put their decorations up. And I hope the guy who's supposed to be doing it isn't a Grinch, because let me tell you something. I do not like Grinching. I didn't say Grinches because I don't want to specifically call certain people out as Grinches. But what it is that I don't like is the attitude behind Grinching. When people are just sitting there deciding, I'm not putting it up, I'm not putting it up. I have it, but I'm not putting it up. I've got it all out, but I'm not putting it up. I'm like, go to the garage and get it. Well, whatever room they're in. I'm tempted to come out with an app. I wonder if someone's come out with an app like this. I wish they would. This app called Grinch Free. And what would my idea be that it would do? It would be able to find where you put your lights last year when you put them away. And your decorations. And it'll even find your new ones. If you went to the store and you bought them maybe and you forgot where you placed them, it can help you find them. Then you won't have to spend hours looking through your garage to find them. Here, I'll just show you where you are. Don't you wish an app like that existed, Cassandra? I do. I didn't call it the Grinch. I said Grinch Free because the idea is that it tells you where the decorations are, so that you won't be one, so you remember to put it up. Because my mom recently told me that she put them in the garage, but she's like, gotta find them, like they're hidden in there somewhere. But some people, sometimes it's like, why did you hide them so far away? Because and here's another thing I don't like. When people decide that they're going to take down their Christmas stuff on like the 23rd of December. Have you heard of people who did that, Cassandra?
They did what?
They took down their Christmas tree on the 23rd, 24th, or 25th of December.
No, I've never heard about that.
I think it's terrible when they do that, don't you?
New Year's.
At the very least, the 26th of December. But I would like to make it say, no, New Year's. And because in my opinion, Christmas isn't supposed to end right on the 26th. Even though some places will turn off their Christmas music on the 26th. Some radio stations do the same thing. But in my mind, it should go on all the way to New Year's Day. And then on that day, you may switch back to regular programming. If you are a station that does, specifically if you're a station that does 24/7 Christmas, what I refer to that is, I mean, those stations who start playing in November full-time, like mid-November full-time or even late November full-time, and then play it all the way to Christmas. I don't think they should be stopping doing that until New Year's Day. Fair enough. That's the way that I personally see it. Of course, people are going to do it the way they're going to do it, how they want to do it, and what have you. But honestly, if it's your house and you want to do it a different way and it's up to you. But so, as it gets closer to Christmas, we're going to keep having once in a while these little discussions about certain things about it and go from there. So, I want to remind you, before we get into our singing and then into the word, I want to mention a couple things. But speaking of word, tonight I want to teach on this concept. Faith and fear cannot live together. Actually, for the title, though, listeners, I'll just call it Faith and Fear. And then, so we're going to be looking on it based on what happens with in the book of Matthew with Peter and the water and what have you, and we're going to discuss that, and it's going to be good. I just know it is. So we'll these announcements. We'll have our Christmas music. We'll have the word. And then we'll have sports, in which I have some exciting stuff to talk about when it comes to sports. And it really is rather exciting, to be honest with you folks, just to give you an idea. All right. I want to mention to you, first of all, our book, Rivers of Miracles. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com. Again, that website is rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, ofmiracles.com to find out information about the book, which is entitled Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of the first 30 years of my life, the story of a God who my mom could not see, but she strongly believed in. And you read that book, it's going to bless your socks off. I know it is. And if you don't like the book for whatever reason, hey, don't blame me, don't blame my mom, don't blame God. If you don't like it, that's on you. But honestly, I hope you enjoy it, and I hope that it can be a blessing to your life. And hey, it makes a great Christmas present for someone, because we're all doing our Christmas shopping. I haven't necessarily started mine yet. You might say, well, Miracle Man, are you ashamed of that? Nope. It's only the 6th of December. Do I like doing it in mid-December? And then, like, you know, the 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd. Well, yeah. I just always say I started like somewhere close to mid-December. Depends on when the parties are. Whoever I'm going to see and what have you, to get it like a few days before that. Like, kind of like last hour, but not necessarily last second. Okay. But needless to say, the book can be a blessing, good thing to get somebody as a gift. All right. The other thing I want to mention to you real quick is our PayPal. If the show has been a blessing into your life, I want to ask you to please consider sowing a seed into the Miracle Man Show. And I'm going to mention this thing that's been on my heart that I've talked about multiple times. And that is, there's times where, yeah, sometimes maybe if you go to church, maybe they're taking an offering. Maybe, we'll just say maybe you pay your tithes unto the Lord when the tithes and offerings are taken. Maybe you give something beyond that. And then we'll say you have a second offering, like for the building program, maybe at your church or whatever that is being done. And maybe you're sowing seed into that offering. But sometimes it's a very good idea to think about, what am I believing for in return from the Lord? What is it that I need? What I want, what I need. Like, what are you selling for? Believing God for a building? Believing God for a prodigal to come home? You believing for healing in your body? Your husband's body? One of your children's bodies? Believing God to bless your finances? What is it that you're believing God for? And so that's just a good question for you to be asking yourself. What am I believing God for? And so you can go online to paypal.com. In the search bar, type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S, R-Y-V-E-R-S. And then the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. There's a space there. Also, keep in mind that the first R in Rivers and the S in Shukla are capitalized. Now, about this tithe and offering thing. In Malachi, it says, will a man rob God? And man obviously said, well, you are the Lord. Why would we rob you? You're the Lord, the first, the last, the great I am. Why would we rob you, God? And then, well, God said, well, you have robbed me in tithes and offerings. And when you rob God by not paying tithes and bringing the offering unto the Lord, you're cursed with a curse. And the good reason to pay the tithe is to rebuke the devourer off from your life, whatever that devourer is, sickness, disease, financial trouble, you know, whatever it could possibly be. And I want to see you blessed. I want to see you make it. And so, of course, the tithe is 10% of your increase. Your first fruits, it's God's. It doesn't become God's. It is the Lord's. God designed it this way. And he said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me not, therefore, that I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not be able to receive. Amen. And so I want to see you get blessed. I do. And so the verse I want you to stand on tonight as you sow your seed, and whenever you sow a seed, I always call you blessed. I call that seed blessed every time, whenever I get notified about it. And so, praise God. Amen. Now, the verse I want to sow into your life is, it says, he who soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. And he who soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Sow according to what you reap. God looks upon the heart, not necessarily at the amount of dollars you give. He looks more on the percent, not the amount of dollars. Amen. Now we're going to sing a couple of Christmas songs, sing a few Christmas songs, and then we are going to get into the word of the Lord for this evening. Frosty the snowman was a happy, jolly soul, with a corn pop pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the snowman was as good as he could be, and the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me. Ernest Evans, a magic in that old sweet hat they found. When him dance around, Frosty the snowman, hurry on him. Down to the village with a broomstick in his hand, running here and there all around the square, singing catch me if you can. Let him down the streets of town, right through the traffic cop, and only for a minute when he heard him holler, stop! Thumpity thump thump thumpity thump thump. Thumpity thump thump thumpity thump thump. Thumpity thump thump thumpity thump thump. Look at Frosty go. Thumpity thump thumpity thump thump over the hills of snow. Frosty the snowman had to hurry on his way, but he waved goodbye singing, don't you cry, I'll be back on Christmas Day. Pitcher's cap, if only Santa Claus would bring the things that I would like. And now the Christmas special and home so far away, in what the things I ask for are so different now today. I want a Michigan Christmas with Michigan snow on a Saginaw tree. I want to be home with my family. Michigan Christmas is all that I'm asking for, please. I want the sum of the mitten, the Mackinac Bridge, and the Bridge of Reed. And I want to be home with my family. A Michigan Christmas is all that I'm asking for, please. I want a Michigan Christmas with Michigan snow on the Saginaw Tree. And I want to be home with my family. A Michigan Christmas is all that I'm asking for, please. New York has a Christmas tree bigger than you would believe. And in Paris, the game is drinking champagne from fine crystal glasses on New Year's Eve. But I know a place that is special and dreams as sweet as your feet. And I want a Michigan Christmas. Michigan Christmas is all that I'm asking for. I want a Michigan Christmas with Michigan snow on the Saginaw tree. But I want to be home with my family. A Michigan Christmas. A Michigan Christmas is all that I'm asking for. You see, that's one of those Christmas songs that I've heard on the radio for at least a good 10 years. One of those Christmas songs that are, I'm sure people from other states have heard it, but it's one of those uniquely from Michigan. So this next one I'm going to sing is a song that I'm going to be doing very soon, my church. Called Christmas Offering. Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star. Well, angels sang to lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth, they traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. They've fallen on their knees. They bow before the humble Prince of Peace. We bring an offering of worship to our King. No one on earth deserves the praises that we sing. Jesus, do you receive the honor that you're due? Oh, Lord, we bring an offering to you. The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the holy throne of heaven. It's only by your blood, it's only through your mercy Lord, I come. We bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, do you receive the honor that you're due? Oh, Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, do you receive the honor that you're due? Oh, Lord, I bring an offering to you. An offering to you. Of glory, of praise we sing. An offering. We are an offering to you. Of glory, of praise we sing. An offering. We are an offering to you. We bring an offering of worship to our King. No one on earth deserves the praises that we sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh, Lord, we bring an offering to you. Oh, Lord, we bring an offering to you. Jesus, we sing glory and honor and praise. We are an offering to you. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. For He alone is worthy. For He alone is worthy. For He alone is worthy. Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. For He alone is worthy. For He alone is worthy. For He alone is worthy. Christ the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We honor you tonight for who you are. We adore you. You alone are worthy. And we thank you, Lord God, for that. Thank you, Lord God. We adore you tonight for what you are to us, who you are to us. We are loved by you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love each and every one of us. thank you that you call us as your own. You treat us as your own. Thank you, Lord God, that you are so good to us. You're so precious to us. Thank you, Master, for always being there for us. In good times and in bad, in times of turmoil, in times of joy. And I just thank you, Lord God. I adore you for what you are to us. Thank you that you meet every need, that it's present. And thank you, Master. And thank you for our time in the Word tonight, that as we study your Word, that you would reveal things to us tonight. You'd reveal yourself to these listeners tonight. Every one of these listeners, thank you that you are revealing things to each and every one of these listeners who is represented. And now I make my confession. Over this program tonight, I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. Most important of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into this program in Jesus' name. And I also pray, Lord God, for healings breaking out, miracles breaking out tonight. And these listeners, that you are healing their bodies right now. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that all sicknesses and disease cannot live in these listeners. COVID dies right now. Inflammation dies right now. Cancer dies. And you, Lord Jesus, live in our bodies. And I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' matchless name. Let's make our confession tonight. Because the Bible says we can have the fruit of our lips. So let's say, this is my Bible. I am what the Word says that I am. I can have what the Word says I can have. And I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It is more than a religious book to me. And it is more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew 18. Hallelujah, Matthew 18. And we're just going to see what the Lord has for us tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for the Word. Thank God for the Word. Thank God for the Word of God. Actually, let me just make sure. Let me taking a look. Actually, you know what? Go to 19. And then we're going to talk about how faith and fear cannot live in the same house. What it is about is where Peter is looking and there is this big storm, and what happens is I don't know why I thought it was 18. Must have been what I heard him say yesterday somehow in my brain. Dr. Mize. Go with me to 14. And let's look at starting with verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds also followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and they said, "This is a remote place here, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and lifting them up to heaven. Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. And they all ate, and they were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate there was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while Jesus dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land. It was buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, that'd be like 3 a.m., Jesus went out to them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were happy, and they said, "It's Jesus! Wait a minute. Oh, isn't that what they said?" Oh, sorry about that, folks. That's not what they said. Verse 24, we're going to try this again. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, and they said, "It is a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Peter got down out of the boat on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country and brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. All right. So, let's discuss this. So, what you see here happened was, what we read was, first, all those disciples were with Jesus, and they go to where they were, went to a remote place, but the crowd decided, "We're coming too." And so all these thousands of people come, 5,000 people come to hear Jesus preach the word. Oh, and by the way, folks, while we're at it, 5,000 men besides women and children and all these other people come. All these other people decided to come. So there's literally like 15,000, 20,000 people, you could say. 5 loaves, 2 fish. And they're able to feed all those people with it, which is a good story. Now, let's talk about this other thing. So, Jesus and the disciples, you see Jesus with the disciples. They came and they went to another place. They were out on the lake. Jesus told the disciples, "Go on ahead of me. Go to the other side of the lake." And Jesus goes up on that mountainside to pray. and the disciples go get in the they get across the lake, and around the fourth watch of the night, it gets real crazy. Like at 1, 2 in the morning, you could say maybe even 3, they get, like I said, they start getting buffeted by all these waves and all these winds, and the winds are against them. The winds are against them, against them. That doesn't make it any easier for them. And so the disciples are in the boat, including Peter, and they're terrified. They weren't going by faith. They were terrified. And then when they see Jesus, you know what they yell out? It's a ghost! It's a ghost! They think he's a ghost when they see it. And then he says, it's I. It's me. Don't be afraid. Peter says, it is you, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. You say, so think about this. Jesus already has said, it's me, disciples. Don't be afraid. Don't be all fearful of this wind. He didn't say, I don't know who it is. He said, no, it's me. Don't be afraid. But Peter decides to say, well, if it is you, you know what the if means when he says, if it's you? There was doubt and there was fear. If it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Peter gets out of that boat, tries to walk on the water to go to Jesus. But then all he does is look up and see that wind and feel those waves and feel that one too. And then he starts to sink and he says, Lord, save me. Jesus catches him and he grabs him and gets him back into the boat. But while he does that, you know what he tells him? He says, you of little faith. And he's asking him, Peter, why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt me? You see, those disciples were not walking by faith at the moment. They weren't walking by faith. They were walking in fear. They were walking in fear, not faith. Here's the thing. Faith and fear cannot dwell in the same house together. So you're walking in fear. You're afraid all the time of whatever it is that you're so afraid of. And you're not walking in wisdom, but you're walking in pure fear. What are you so afraid of? You don't have to be afraid. Oh, the waves are just waves. There's storms of life. In life, there is storms. And I'm not just talking about on the sea. Things happen in life while we are here on the earth. Things happen. And so obviously some things, some storms, you know, some of the different things that you'll face will be worse than other things that you'll face. But you see, folks, so what happened, you know, Jesus tells him. So Peter is, he could have been Mr. Faith. Peter could have very much been Mr. Faith and then It's you. I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. I know you got this. But instead, he was walking in fear with the rest of them. Right there at that moment, they were in fear because there was a hurricane. Excuse me. There was a storm, a very bad storm, hurricane. That big windstorm. And they were afraid. They were honestly afraid. Truly afraid. I'm not just saying that either. They were. But I know people, as we were going through, starting to go through this COVID thing last year, so many people, they just let fear take over. Even people that are supposed to be born again, spirit-filled, water-baptized, fire-baptized people. And some of those people just let fear take over. Oh, it's this thing called COVID. It's the worst thing ever. And they're all like, well, we got to wear four masks on our face at once. Oh, I need to buy a used supply of toilet paper. What are we going to do? Folks, you know what the most purchased thing on Amazon was in 2020? It wasn't laptops. It wasn't books. It wasn't, you know, video game systems. It wasn't video games even. It was pajamas. Pajamas. Oh, it wasn't even toilet paper. Take that, Charmin. You didn't win the year on Amazon. It was pajamas. Maybe in stores, the hardest thing to find was toilet paper, or all the different cleaning products and all that other stuff. But people were too afraid to leave their house. And they say, what was one of the worst things about this whole thing? The fear that it created. It created amounts of fear that we hadn't dealt with before. And any time we got something big, like a big storm, like a real big hurricane, or a big giant, you know, or a terrorist attack, or whatever, like after that thing happens. Like after 9/11, there was a lot of fear. But oftentimes the world was in fear, but the church stood up like they were supposed to. Like, for example, around 9/11. People saw that the church had answers, and they were drawn to the church. For a little while there after 9/11, you couldn't find a place to sit in my church. You kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you. I am not kidding you. At all. But let's see. For the first time ever, that I know of. Even so many people in the church let fear take over. For whatever reason, people decided that they thought Fauci was right. And other people. But whether you believe in Fauci or what have you, that's beside the point. My point is people let fear take over. When you're in fear, you'll do things that you shouldn't be doing. Peter, in those waves, he didn't say, right there, imagine if he would have said, oh, Lord, it's you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What if he would have said that instead of saying, Lord, if it is you? Because Jesus had already said, I'm going to pray. It is I. Don't be afraid. Somehow, if anything, it made him more afraid. I don't know if the wind got stronger or if there was a bigger wave or what. It doesn't tell us, but I just know it was stronger. I just know that somehow something was coming. I don't mean like something was coming, but something was there. But what I'm trying to get to you, folks, and I want you to realize this. Faith and fear cannot live in the same house. They can't. It is impossible to be filled with faith and filled with fear at the same time. And if you're super fearful, either you're not going to church enough, not hearing the word of God preached enough, or you're just, maybe you're messing around when the word is being preached, writing your grocery list, doing all this other stuff that you shouldn't be doing when the word's being preached, and you're not letting that faith be deposited into you. If you are fearful, you are faithless. If you are faithful, you are fearless. Can't be full of faith and fear at the same time. You can't. Try it. It won't work. Because the love of Jesus casts down fear. Faith casts down fear. Because people can think that they heard about a new variant. They could be like, variant. There's another new. No. You have to take authority over fear. Bind the spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. One time I was on a ride at the Midland County Fair with my cousin about 13 years ago, and it was a ride that was a fun ride. It was, in fact, it was this ride that goes upside down and spins you around real fast and up in the air a bit. It's called a zipper. And while we were on it, partway through the ride, she's like, feeling kind of, you know, like my stomach's not feeling so good, and I'm, to be honest, I'm kind of scared. And so I hear myself saying to her out loud, I'm like, you know, God has not given you the spirit of fear. And then throughout the rest of that ride, I kept saying it. God has not given you the spirit of fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear. God has not given you the spirit of fear. And so, yeah, I was a 19-year-old, very young adult at the time, but I was having an impact on her, on my cousin, who was 4 months younger than me. For whatever reason, Peter was afraid. But we don't have to be afraid. We can trust God instead. Trust in His word. Live by faith. And know by God that, you know what? Everything is going to be okay. Because God has us in the palm of His hand. We can realize that everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. Because God has us in the palm of His hand. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this word tonight. I thank You so much for this word tonight from me. Thank You, Lord God, that we would choose to live in faith and not live in fear. That we would not let fear take over in our lives. That we would, whenever we're feeling a spirit of fear that might come upon us, that we would always curse that thing and that we would trust in You, Jesus. And that we would dig out verses on faith. And that we would pay attention to Your word and do what Your word says to do and trust in Your word at all times. And not let the new fears of the day try to get on us. And just thank You, Lord God. And for those who are dealing with fear right now, I curse the spirit of fear off of us right now, that we are freed from it, and that instead that we're just calm and not fearful. And I give You all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. All right. Let's talk college football. In college football, you had Alabama beat Georgia 46-21 on Saturday night in the SEC championship game in Atlanta. Atlanta, Georgia. In the Big Ten championship game, you had Michigan romp Iowa 42-3. I don't get how Iowa gave up 42 points, but they did. And Michigan held Iowa's offense to just a field goal. One field goal. That was the only offense they got. And I figured they would play Michigan a whole lot better than what they played that team to the south. But I didn't realize they would be that much better. I didn't think it would be that much better. Now, Michigan has to play Georgia on New Year's Eve in Miami. And some of you folk might think, oh, it's Michigan, Georgia. Georgia will probably win, right? To that I say, don't count Michigan out. Don't count Michigan out. Not this team. The way they played that team to the south and then played Iowa and how great they did. This team is serious. To watch them go from 2-4 last year to be in question marks at the start of the year, picked to be they were picked to finish in fourth place in the Big Ten East. Instead, they're first place in the Big Ten East and the Big Ten. Look at them. And this is that moment of time, like where I say, I am proud to be a Michigan fan. Proud to be a University of Michigan football fan. And to that I say, go Blue. Hail to the victors. Yes. And so we'll talk a little more about that as the time comes closer. And on the show before that game, I will pick that game and who I think will win that game. Tomorrow night, I will tell you which bowl games Michigan State will be in and where that team of the South will be. And Oregon lost to Utah in the Pac-12 out west. That's Oregon's fourth loss of the year. It's wild. So, in the NFL, Lions. The Lions won a game 27-24 over the Minnesota Vikings in Detroit. Last second touchdown with a good extra point is how they won. They were up 20-6. At one point, they were up 20-6. Minnesota came back, got the lead. But then Detroit got that last second touchdown. Was able to get a win. It wasn't pretty, but they got it done. They got it done. And that's what counts. They finally got it. And I was really hoping that we would not go 0-16-1. But now we won't have to because we now have a win. On Sunday, we'll look to make it two wins in a row. More about that game on Wednesday. Sorry about that, folks. I was just checking something very quickly. But we had the wins by the Lions, the win by Michigan. So, if you're a fan of big football in Michigan, it was a good weekend. The Lions still have to play Seattle in Seattle, Atlanta in Atlanta, Green Bay at Detroit, Denver, and then let me think here, the dates. 12th, 19th, 26th, the 2nd, the 9th. So we still have to play Atlanta, Seattle, Denver, Green Bay, and then someone else, but I forget who. Hopefully we can win at least two of those. But until next time, until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.